Matthew chapter 20 and verse number 20. The Bible says, "Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with her sons, kneeling down and asking him, asking something from him. And he said to her, 'What do you wish?' She said to him, 'Grant these two sons of mine may sit one on your right hand and the other on your left in your kingdom.' But Jesus answered and said, 'You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I'm about to drink and to be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with?' And they said to him, 'We're able.' So he said to them, 'You will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right and my left is not mine to give, but it is for those whom it is prepared by my Father.' And when the 10 heard it, they were greatly displeased with the two brothers. But Jesus called them to himself, saying, 'You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many.'" Dear God, we thank you. We praise and adore you because you're an awesome God, and beside thee is none other. Now, dear God, we stand as empty pitchers before a full fountain, asking us to fill us with your spirit, dear God. Use us as you see fit. Hide me behind the cross that men might see less of me and more of thee. And we give your name the praise, the honor, and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 You may be seated in the sight of the Lord. I want to talk to you this morning from the subject, leading by example. Leading by example. Now, this thing about leadership is something that we all seek to obtain as early as little children. In grade school and preschool and in elementary school, we are taught and trained early how to become leaders. Fact about it, in the kindergarten and the first grade, when it came time to go to lunch or to recess, you just didn't jump up when the bell rung. The teacher would announce that it was time to go, and we would all get in a single file line, making our way to wherever it was we was about to go, and there was always selected someone to be the leader. And the thing about being the leader as a little child is there were certain criterias that were expected of you to take on that role. You had to make sure you sit up in your chair. You had to make sure that you kept your desk clean. You had to make sure you paid attention in class. You had to make sure that you had your books, your pencil, your paper. You had to make sure that all that day you came prepared to learn. And because of you fitting the criteria that the teacher had put in place, you were designated that day to be the leader. Some of y'all remember that. from childhood, we seek to be be the leader. Even if you play sports, you want to be the leader on the team. You want to be the captain of the team. You wanted to be the one that was first out in front of everybody else. If you played in the band, you wanted to be the leader of your section. You wanted to be in first chair, because all of us like to be the leader. Amen. Amen. Even on your job, if you start a job at an entry level, sooner or later, you begin to work your way up to a management level and then to a supervisory level and on, because we don't like being behind, but we like being out front. Amen. Amen. We like being out front. We like being first, because I'll get to a grocery store long line. Want to see some of us get angry? Let the line be long and you done worked all day and you just had to happen to stop to pick up something. You don't want to wait in line. You want to move up front. Be in the front. You want to be ahead of everybody else, because we like being the leader. Amen. We like to be the leader. So the request that's made here by Salome, the mother of James and John, really isn't a strange request at all. Look here in our text. That's her name. That's the mother of the sons of Zebedee, James and John. She comes to Jesus. And what's interesting, y'all, is how she comes to Jesus, because she comes to him and she kneels down. She comes to him in a form of worship. She comes to him, and the way that she comes to him seems so respectful, because she doesn't come to him all puffed up, but she comes to him kneeling down. And that's a message to us today. Because, y'all, we got to be careful how we come to church. Yeah. Amen. We got to be careful, because what I've come to discover is different people have different motives for coming to church. She doesn't come to Jesus just to worship him, but she's coming to Jesus making a request of him. I stopped to tell you today that if you can't find no better reason to come to church, just come to church, because God is good. That's reason enough. That's reason enough to worship him because he woke you up this morning. It's reason enough to praise him because he gave you health and strength. You are not always come to church looking for something from the Lord. Every now and then you ought to come, because God is good. But just like most of us, this day she comes looking for something. Comes looking for something. Now, we really don't want to be too critical of her, because she comes with James and John with her. And that's a message to parents today. Y'all, we can't ever expect to change this cruel, wicked generation unless we bring our children to church. Amen. Amen. We talk about them. We talk about how they've fallen away, but we don't bring them. Amen. We don't bring them to church. Some of us can remember where going to church wasn't optional. Amen. The only reason you didn't go is because you couldn't get up, and it wasn't because you was too sleepy. Amen, amen. She brings them into the presence of Jesus, and her request is, Lord, I want you to keep them close to you. And y'all, that's a good, mighty good request for the Lord of our children today, is that we want to keep, want him to keep them close to him, because close to us ain't good enough. We can't watch over them when they're gone, but close to him, he can watch over them when we can't. Says, Lord, I would that you would let one son, when you come into your kingdom, be at your right hand, and my other son at your left hand. And Jesus says to her, you don't know what you're asking. You don't know what you're asking. You know, sometimes some things we ask of the Lord, we really don't know what we're asking, because when he gives it to us, we don't know how to handle it. Amen, amen. Because that's the thing about the Lord. That's the Bible. Asking it shall be given. Seeking ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be open unto you. And what we've come to discover is the Lord has given us some things in life that we did not know. Right. We didn't know how to handle them. He says, you don't know what you're asking of me. He says, are they willing to drink from my cup and be baptized with my baptism? And John and James, these were the cousins of Jesus. They said, we are. And they did. And when you study the life of John and James, John was the John that was on the Isles of Patmos in Revelation, lived a long time, but did a lot of suffering for Jesus. James was beheaded for Jesus. They were willing to suffer with him. And that's a message to us today. That if we're going to stay close to him, we got to be willing to suffer with him. Amen. Amen. Must Jesus bear the cross alone, that all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone. There's a cross for me. The cross represented pain and suffering. And after they responded to Jesus by saying yes, Jesus tells them, yes, you will drink from my cup and be baptized with my baptism. But what's interesting, Jesus says, but this request that you're making, it's not mine to give. This is something the Father has to do. And isn't that interesting to hear from Jesus, knowing that he is God in the flesh? Still, he recognizes and respects there are some things that he did not send me to do that only God can do. Oh, and I thank God there's some things that only God can do, because that gives us a chance, because if it was left up to some of us to save us, we wouldn't stand a chance. Amen. What are you saying, preacher? Let God be God. Amen. Let God be God. God saves. Amen. Amen. God save. And let me say it like this. He can save who he wants to. Amen, amen. See, that shakes some of our foundation, because we like to pick and choose who God will and who God won't save. But the fact about it, just like Jesus said, let God be God. We can't be God. We're not good enough to be God. How can we determine who God can and will not? Let God. Let God be God. It's enough for me to look out for myself. Oh, y'all ain't gonna mess with us there, because we don't let God be God. Now, that's really the introduction to my message this morning. that's the introduction. To meet what I really wanted to deal with this morning starts at around verse number 24. Because from verse 20 to 23, Jesus is talking to James, John, and their mother. But beginning at 24,
he starts talking to the rest of the disciples. And what you'll discover here is how they responded to their request. Look at this, y'all.
In verse number 24, the text says, "And the 10 heard it, and they were greatly displeased with the two brothers." Get this. Set the stage. They come to Jesus with their mother, and the request is for one to sit on the right hand and the other to sit on the left. The other disciples heard this and got mad. They became displeased because of the fact, who do they think they are? I mean, what they think. And y'all, I can imagine that's how we think sometimes when some people try to get closer to the Lord than we are. Who do they think they are? You know, some of us own Jesus all to ourselves and don't think nobody can get as close as we are. I mean, you can see how some folk look on Sunday when other folks start testifying about the goodness of God and what God has done. And what happens is they join the "I remember when" committee when folks start talking about, "Well, I remember when you used to be like this, and I remember when you used to hang like that," because folk get jealous when you get close to the Lord. Amen. Amen. Y'all, these are the disciples. These are their homeboys. And they're mad. They're displeased.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Because of their requests. Uh-huh. And you know, one of the things I've come to discover is that when you study the life of Jesus, you'll find Jesus had more issue with the 12.
Yes.
Listen to what he says. Listen to what he says here. Jesus says, what they're requesting is to be great. Being next to me, they were requesting to be great. They were requesting to be first. They were requesting to be leaders. That's what their requests are narrowed down to. They wanted to be out front, in front of everybody else. And don't that sound like some of us?
Sir.
Amen. We like to be leaders. We like to be out front, in front of everybody. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with it. We need good leaders. We need strong leaders. We need men and women that seek to be out front. Amen. Amen. We need that in the Lord's church. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with the request. He says they want to be great. They want to be out front. They want to be leaders. He says, but what you need to understand is that in order to be a spiritual leader, you have to be two things. You have to be a servant, and you have to be a slave. That messed me up. That messed me up. He says, it's okay what they're requesting to be out front, to be leaders, to be first in line. That's all right. But if you want to be first, if you want to be out front, you got to be a servant and a slave. Let me help you with this. Because that messed up how we have come to understand what leadership is all about. Look how we understand it. Look here, it's right here in the text. This is how we understand leadership, verse number 25. But Jesus called them to him and said, listen to this, "You know the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority
over them. He says, this is how you have come to know leadership. As Gentiles, the rulers lorded over you and exercise great authority over you. What does that mean? We see leadership as the one that has all the power and the control. Amen. Amen. Because that just makes good sense. The people that are in high positions have all the power and the control. And to us, that's what a leader looks like. Amen. I mean, come on now. We've been messed up in the church to think and believe that the leaders have all the power and the control. Yeah, we so messed up in which we've been led to believe that the leaders, the elders, the bishops, the shepherds run the church. I've been in the Church of Christ all my life. I know what I'm talking about. Amen. Amen. You go to some churches and you'll find some leaders that run the church. We know some, we've been to some in which if some folk don't go for it, it just don't go. And in some churches, they're not all elders. Amen. See, that's what bothers me about us and us being so sanctified and so heaven bound. I know some churches where some sisters were told to keep quiet in the church. They couldn't say nothing in worship, but behind closed doors, nothing happened. Unless they said so. Amen. 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 Because what we've been taught is leadership gives you authority. In the United States of America, we have one man that's out front and has all the power. You can act like you've been had your hole in the grave for the last, a hole for the last 10 months. There's one man that's out front that has the power. When else have we had a president that was on TV every day? Every day doing something different. Every day since he's been elected, the news has had something to say about the president of the United States. Because it's something that he's done, whether crazy or not. He has the power. Amen. He has the power. Because in our minds, as Gentiles, those that are great. Now this term great here, Jesus in verse number 24 has a different meaning. In verse number 25 has a different meaning than verse number 26. In verse number 24, when he talks about great, he talks about those that have great wealth. Because we believe more money, more power. Amen. Amen. And the fact about it, that's the world that we live in. More money. How else you think he become president? Or y'all come into this place because the more money you have, the more power. What we've been led to believe is that greatness puts one in authority. You agree with that? Amen. Amen. That's how it is. That's how we live. That's the world that we live in. The more money you have, the more prestige you have, the greater your position you have, the more power. That's the leader. But look at what Jesus says in verse number 26. He says, yet it is not so among you. He says, that's how it is in the Gentile world. But that ain't the way it is in the church. Amen. And one of the main things we got to be careful about is bringing things of the world. See, we worried about how folk dress and how folk look at all that, bringing that type of worldly stuff in. But y'all, we brought some more worldly stuff than how folk look when we look at how we choose our leaders. Amen. Even in the church. Amen. Even in the church, you have come to discover that in some churches, the more money you have, because that's the way we think as Gentiles. Money is power. But Jesus says, not so. Not so. And y'all, we need to understand that. That just because somebody in here thinks that they're up there, that doesn't give them any kind of authority in the Lord's church. Amen. Look here, y'all, this is good. It blessed me. Look at what he says. He says, yet it shall not be among you, but whosoever desires to become great, let him be your servant. Now, that word great there describes a person that's out front, that's first. And what he would have you and I to know is that if you desire to be out front, if you desire to be first, if your desire is to be a leader in here, you got to be a servant. You got to be a servant. You got to be a servant. If you got to be a servant, you got to be a servant before you can be a leader in the Lord's church. That makes sense, don't it? Don't it? I mean, you would think that anybody in the world would think in order to be a leader, you got to first of all serve. How can you lead something you never served in? Let's go back to the White House. It just makes good sense. That as a leader, you must first be a servant. Y'all know what rich folk normally don't do?
Amen. Amen.
See, that's why you ain't gonna win the lottery. Because the Lord knows if he make you rich. I'm trying to help somebody here today. You'll stop serving. He says, if you want to be great in the kingdom of God, have to be a servant. Here's the problem. Because most of us don't have a problem serving God. Tighten your seatbelts. Sunday morning, serving communion, picking up the offering, singing in the choir, being one of the greeters. We ain't got no problem with that. Amen, amen. Because we've been born again so that we can be a servant of God. We don't have a problem serving God. Now, we don't always want to do what he says. But the fact about it is, for the most part, we do all that we can to serve him. But don't miss this. Don't miss this. Let me read it so you make sure that you don't miss it. He says in verse number 26, but whosoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. The fact about being a leader in the kingdom of God, being first, being out front, is you got to learn how to serve the sheep. Amen. 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 Let me tell you something. Just because you're ordained, just because you're given a position in ministry, just because you're out front, don't get beside yourself. You didn't get where you are because of who you are. You shouldn't have anyway. You got where you are because of what you do. And I don't understand folk that are elevated in the church because of how well they serve. And when they get in position, they start getting other folk to do the stuff that they used to do. No, we need to learn to serve one another. Yeah, I do this series. I did this series when I used to preach in Denton, and we were looking at eldership, and I did this series that was entitled, They Ought to Smell Like Sheep. And the thing about shepherds in the kingdom of God, they ought not smell like cologne. And the only way a shepherd could smell like a sheep, he has to get in the sheepfold. Amen. Amen. He had to get among them. He had to work with them. He had to serve them. And Lord forbid, when there's ever bishops in the kingdom of God that the sheep don't know. Let that settle for a minute. He says, let them first of all serve. And the thing about service isn't the hard part, because service is done willfully. Amen. Yeah, we don't have a problem serving. Especially when we know that's what we're supposed to do. Especially when we know that's what God has called us to do. We'll serve. We don't have a problem with that. And we'll even serve folk in the church. But our real problem comes from being a slave. Because a servant does what he's told to do. A slave does what he's made to do. Amen. And the thing about a servant, we don't mind serving in the church, but we don't want to do something we don't want to do. And that's what slavery was all about. A slave was purchased by his owner, and a slave did what he was told to do. What you're saying, preacher? I'm saying when you serve in the kingdom, you got to serve those you do like and serve those you don't. Amen. Amen. Because what I've come to discover is there's some sheep that stink. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the person sitting next to you. And we generally don't like being around folk that stink. Oh, y'all come stop acting all bougie this morning. You know that if there's anybody on the bus or in the car that stink, you go to the other side. That's what sin does. Sin make you stink. Sin make you dirty. Sin makes you filthy. And there's a whole lot of folk. They hiding it with cologne today. They hiding it with soap. They hiding it with body wash. But let the truth be told underneath. Y'all know what I'm talking about. He says, if you want to be great, you have to serve one another. He says, but if you want to be first, I said it earlier, nobody likes to be last. Fact about it, we don't even like being in the middle. You don't believe me? Get to a traffic light. I'm talking about so far back that it takes two or three times before you finally go through. And you're not in the back, you in the middle. We like to be first. We like to be out front. That's how we were trained as children in grade school, in the kindergarten, to do the right thing, to be first. He says, if you want to be first, you got to be a slave. You have 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 to do things that you don't want to do. And y'all, that's the thing about being leaders in the kingdom of God, because do understand that most people in here got the same problem that we used to have. I'm talking about leaders. They're slowful. Yeah, especially us, y'all. We ain't used to ministry. Come on, you Church of Christ folk that's been in as long as I have. Ministry is a word that just came to us a few years ago, because all we did was came to church on Sunday morning, sing No Not One, take communion, had a prayer, gave a dollar, and went home. We didn't do no ministry. We didn't do that in the church. That wasn't heard of in the Church of Christ. All we did was sit, ate, slept, and went home. So now this thing called ministry has come forth. And as ministry leaders, is not designed for you to come in and dictate what everybody else is supposed to do. It's designed for you to come in and go to work. Amen. It's designed for some of us, we get in a position, and that's the worst thing that could have ever happened to us, because you don't see us no more. And we make excuses like, child, I got so much paperwork to do. I got to make sure this thing is run right. No, to make sure that it's run right, you got to be there. Amen. You got to get your hands dirty. You got to be a part of it, even when you don't want to. Amen. Even when you don't want to. As a leader, you have to be a slave. You have to be one that is under the authority of another. I'm done, y'all. Because what happens here is Jesus never tells us what to do without showing us how to do it. That's the good news, y'all. That's why we can shout, because what he expects of us, he's already done. Look at it. I'm done, y'all. I'm done now. Look at verse number 28. He says, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. This is Jesus talking. The Master's Lamb of God, the Savior of the world, the Messiah, God in the flesh, says, I didn't come to be served. If Jesus didn't come to be served, what makes you think folk ought to be serving you? What makes you think you ought to be giving orders? What makes you think you ought to be in control? And when you look back over his resume, that's just what he did. He served. He served sick folk as a doctor. He served hungry folk as a caterer. He served dead folk, not as the undertaker, but as the resurrection. Jesus came to serve. He came to serve. And that's why we are to lead by example, because just as he was requiring of them, he showed them how to do it. Amen. See, that's the thing about the disciples. He could talk to them like that, because they had been with him. They had been around him. They seen the things that he's done. He says, pattern your service after me. But then the good news, y'all, and I'm done. He says, and he gave his life a ransom for many. A ransom is what's paid to free somebody that's in captivity. That's shout news. And let me tell you why you ought to shout. You ought to shout because we were born in sin and shapen in iniquity, and we were slaves of sin. But because the blood of Jesus have been shed at Calvary and bought us with a price, his blood serves as a ransom for you and me.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Now the thing about it is, now we're under new captivity. And like, y'all, it ain't nothing like being captured by Jesus. Because you know what happens when you're under captivity? The one that has control of you has to take care of you. Getting that? Y'all ain't feeling that. I said the one that has control of you has to take care of you. And can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. And I stop to tell you, he's the best caretaker that you can ever have. I'm done, y'all. He says that we've been bought with a price. Let me tell you something. If you've been born again, you're valuable. Somebody didn't. And you didn't feel it because you ain't been born again. The truth about it is, when you've been born again, you realize you ain't a nothing. But you have value. And you know how you know you have value? Because the Lord keeps pumping into you. He keeps putting into your love. He keeps putting into your peace. He keeps putting into your long suffering, because you're valuable. He bought you with a price. Amen. Leading by, right, that's my message. I got enough. I can go on and on. Some of y'all still ain't gonna get it. What is it that you're trying to get? Since you're trying to be so smart, what it is I want you to get is leadership in the position of authority. Now, just because you become a leader in the church, just because the Lord allows you to be out front, that gives you no authority. Do you not realize God don't need none of us to run nothing in him?
Amen.
Let me say that again. That sounds pretty good. God don't need none of us to run nothing in here. He can handle this house all by itself. Amen, amen, amen. And just because you think that he needs you, I tell you what, die. Die. You die. We'll come in here on Saturday, cry and sling snot over you, go out to the cemetery and bury you, come back, eat some fried chicken, potato salad, green beans, and drink some red soda water, and next Sunday, everything will go on just as it has been going. Because God don't need none of us to run nothing in him. enough said. Are you here this morning?
Well.
And now you understand. And now you understand a little bit better what leadership is all about. Then you need to be a better leader. Amen. I said from the beginning, we've been taught how to lead as little children, and still we serve as leaders. You lead your household.
Right, right.
Amen. The sad part about it is you're the only one that come to church.
My Lord.
You left a house full of folk at home in the bed. And all of them need Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. So start at home.
Amen.
Start at home. Be a good leader.
Amen.
At home.
Amen.
Amen. Because how can a man lead the house of God? He can't lead his own house. Amen. All of us have ambition and desire to be great. Last week, a couple of weeks ago, my daughter called me and she told me she had her progress report. Middle of the year, she got a progress report. And she was saying, Dad, I got a couple of A's, a couple of B's, a few C's. I said, huh? School just starting. You at least want to do good at the beginning. I'm trying to help some parents. The first 6 weeks ought to be pretty good.
Yeah.
They just getting started. If the first 6 weeks start out bad, Lord have mercy. She said, Daddy, that's good. I said, no, it ain't. She said, Daddy, at least I'm not failing. I said, you almost. Not let our children just be mediocre, just be okay. Okay ain't good enough. God didn't create us to be okay. God created us to look like Jesus, and Jesus is better than okay. She got mad and hung up the phone. We should strive to be leaders. We should strive to be great. That's what we should strive for. Each and every one of us should want to be out front. We should want to be first. It ain't how you look. It's based on how you serve. So that's my question to you today. Are you a for real servant of God? Or do you just come to church looking for something? A lot of folk just come, just like Salome, looking for something. We perpetrate, we put on a good front. But we ain't come to praise God. We come looking for the Lord to do something. I stop to tell you, he will. That's shout news right there. He'll do something for you. And if you're here today and you need something done for you, I bid you to come down these aisles right now. Matter of fact, I dare you to come down these aisles right now, and you need the Lord to do something for you. I dare you to come. I dare you to come. The reason it's difficult for you to come, because you know if you come, the right thing to do when somebody does something for you is to say thank you. And you don't want to have to get up, give God praise, and tell him thank you. That's why you won't come. And you know you need it. You know you need it. God knows you need it. And he's ready and willing to give it to you today. You know why he wants you to have it? Because it's standing in the way of your service. He wants to make you great. But you won't get what you need. And he has it. He has everything that we need for greatness. Amen. You ain't got to win the lottery to be great. You ain't got to hit the jackpot at the casino. Some of y'all just give each other up. No, just come to Jesus. Give your life to Jesus. Let us pray for you. And if you don't know the Lord, it's a good time to get to know him. Amen. Today is a good time for you to get to know him. Today is a great day for you to give your life to Jesus. Come to Jesus as together we stand.